The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, I have... Oh, you know what it is?
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody knows what it is?
Yeah.
What's the purpose?
So you can see in the dark.
So you can see in the dark. Okay. So, you know, it's, I don't think it's not going to help me see. Why isn't it helping me?
Because it's out of battery.
Well, what do you have to do to make it shine? To make it shine.
Turn it on.
Oh, you have to turn it on. Let's turn it on. Oh.
Battery.
Okay, so what do we need?
Battery. You already have battery in here.
I've got one.
You need two.
Okay. Let's do this. Okay. Then we'll put the lid back on and let's see if it works.
Maybe they're both out of battery. And maybe it'll work now.
Let me go get a 9-volt.
Oh, now it's not working. You know why?
Because you put it in.
We put the batteries in the wrong way. So that one goes in that way. And this one goes in this way. Okay, now we try it. Let's see if it works now. You know, this is the reason I brought this to show. All right. Look at. This works. I can see you a lot better with this light. This is like the Holy Spirit. You know, we are made for a purpose. Like the flashlight is made for a purpose. And in order to use that purpose, everything has a purpose. And if this didn't have batteries in it, it couldn't do its purpose. And you have the Holy Spirit in you, so you can do your purpose. And your purpose is to shine out God's love. That's your purpose. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, it's like a flashlight without batteries or upside down batteries. It just doesn't work. So you have the Holy Spirit in you so you can shine out God's love. That's your job. But now you're going to go to Sunday school and learn more about that. So, Gia, you have a dollar to put in the basket? Because you are sharing your, or Melinda's, money so that we can help other people to hear the word of God.
Yes.
So, all right.
The first reading was from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deed of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're all filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice, addressed them, and said, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord, great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides in you, and he will be in you. The Gospel of the Lord.
I was in junior high. I was a cheerleader. Now, back in the day, all you needed to do to get on the cheerleading team was to have an enthusiasm and a loud voice. Today, you have to be an expert dancer and gymnast and acrobat. But one of my favorite cheers was a challenge cheer. "We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?" And then we would yell that across the field. And then the cheerleaders over there would take up the chant and then shout it back to us. We took two turns shouting this cheer back and forth, hoping that our side would be the louder side. My team never won. I went to a high school that, a junior high, but and then on to the high school, a parochial school. And we never won a game while I was in school. And then I went to a college that didn't win their football games either. In fact, We used to say, and we had a marching band that didn't know how to march. So we'd say, St. John's band marching. They never did. Today is Pentecost. It's a perfect time for us to yell out that we have the Spirit, to shout it out that we have Spirit. But, you know, we're not so much for shouting in church. Well, some of us are, but some of us did put on our team colors, though. Wear the jersey for the team. Maybe we can win the game today. That shows Spirit. If you're of Portuguese descent, you might be a little more moved to shout about the Holy Spirit today. It's Festa. If you didn't remember that, it's Festa today. Since the 13th century, the Portuguese people have been having this celebration in honor of the Holy Spirit and remembering the good work of their Queen Isabel, who took care of the poor. And she gave bread from the king's table to the poor people and prayed to the Holy Spirit that the drought and the famine would be over. And since the 13th century, on the Feast of Pentecost, the Portuguese people get together and have this big celebration in honor of the Holy Spirit, and they wear a crown. They crown the queen in honor of Isabel, and the crown has a dove on it in honor of the Holy Spirit, and you can get some great traditional soup and bread if you want to stand in line. The Holy Spirit is the reason for the parade, and everyone seems to be having a great time at that event. They've got Spirit. Yes, they do. They've got Spirit. How about you? How about you? What do you think of when you think of Pentecost? You might remember that story that Gail just read from the Acts of the Apostles with its account of that violent wind and the storm of fire. Maybe you think of that experience that the people from many different countries are hearing and understanding the story of God's deeds of power, and they heard in their own languages. But there's more to Pentecost than that. Sometimes we get so involved in the wonderful, powerful details of that first Pentecost that we miss out on its meaning for today. It's true that the Holy Spirit moved those disciples from fear to courage, from isolation and scarcity to outreach and abundance. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus' followers at Pentecost. They got the Spirit. But what does Pentecost mean for you, for us, today? For one thing, it means that Jesus' promise to be with us always is being fulfilled. The story in Scripture happened after the ascension had occurred and Jesus in his physical body is gone from them. The fearful followers were in Jerusalem taking part in the festa, well, taking part in the Hebrew celebration of harvest called Pentecost, 50 days after the Feast of Passover. These followers of Jesus really didn't have a clue as to how they would carry out Jesus' final directive to go and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. They didn't know how they were going to do that. And then this outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens, and they can't keep quiet. It seems that the ends of the earth have come to them, and they reach out to the crowd with words that even they didn't understand. But the crowd understood. Each in the crowd heard the good news of God's mighty deeds in their own language. The same God who moved and worked through the earthly Jesus continued to move and work through those first century followers of Jesus. And the same God continues to work and move through you. and through me. Pentecost means that the church community, us together, is empowered. The Holy Spirit came when the followers of Jesus were gathered together. God working through the community, pouring out power and light on them all. While it's true that the Spirit blows where the Spirit wills, it is definitely and clearly in the direction of community building and inclusion. The Spirit blows in the direction of overcoming barriers, of removing divisions that separate people, of bringing people together. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." That's what Pentecost means. No barriers, no divisions. On that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples with God's power and light, and they began to tell everyone of God's deeds of power, of God's love for them. And each person heard in his own language. A miracle indeed. And we are called to continue that Pentecost miracle today. It isn't only about each of us receiving the gift of God's power and light in our lives. It is also about our reaching out and telling others about God's love, about God's deeds of power, and to each in their own language. I'm not talking about reading scripture, a scripture passage in Oromo or Japanese, or singing a hymn in Swedish or Spanish like we did at our Synod Assembly last week. And that's fine. But I'm talking about reaching out to people in places and in ways that are familiar and accessible to them. To meet people where they are. I have a colleague who writes his sermon at a corner table in a restaurant. It's always there every Thursday. He sits at that same table in the restaurant. People know who he is, people know what he's doing, and people come and talk to him while he's writing his sermon. I have another colleague who does his weekly Bible study. Invited Bible study, not his own personal study. He holds a Bible study in a pub. It doesn't only have to be holy talk, however, just honest and loving talk. Have you talked to anyone in the last week in an honest and loving way? You are sharing then. I hope I did see some nods. I hope I see a lot of nods. You know, do you talk to people in honest and loving ways? Do you meet people where they are? They might be at the beach, in a park, at the ballpark, on a bench waiting for the bus. Meet people where they are and treat them with love and acceptance. You are doing a Pentecost miracle. You are sharing God's love, even though you might not be saying God. To reach people in the language and in the places where they are. So the language that we use, we just sang a hymn. Some people don't ever sing hymns, only when you come to church. So maybe sometimes we need to shout. Maybe we need one of the pastors over at Claremont is a hip-hop rapper, and he rapped the whole Eucharistic prayer. All the prayers at the altar he did in a rap. That's not my language. I didn't really love it, but a lot of people did. A lot of people did. It reached them where in their own language. I think it was English, but it was their own language. Pentecost means reaching people in their own language, in however we can do that. It means that there is a new wind of mission work that is let loose on the earth. It means that God is empowering the church to reach out and to tell others of God's deeds of power. of God's love for the world. At Pentecost, the Spirit pushed the church from the safety of the locked doors in that upper room into the struggles and the realities of the world on the streets. Pentecost means that we, the church today, are empowered. We are empowered to reach out with good news. What we do in here is indeed good news. And we need to be in here. We need to come here in order to live. The food that we receive at this table is for our nourishment. It's for our life. I saw an ad recently for a restaurant, and it boasted that their desserts were to die for. I doubt that we were supposed to take that literally. I don't know how much you'd have to eat to literally die for them. But it got me thinking about what is worth dying for. In this meal, we can believe what Jesus says, that we are to die for. God's love for us is without limit. In God's eyes, you are to die for. The good news needs to be shared. It needs to be shared in every language, in every place. It needs to be shared by us in words and in deeds wherever we are. Pentecost is not only about the upper room and a historical event. Pentecost is about you and me being reminded that we are filled with power and light of the Holy Spirit, and that we need to take that good news into the streets. Whether you tell the good news of God's love by doing your best job at folding the laundry, or playing golf, or serving soup to the homeless, or saying a prayer, or having a kind thought for a neighbor, whatever you do, beyond these doors, do it with love and honesty, and you will be sharing the good news of God's love. Francis of Assisi is often quoted as saying, "Preach the good news at all times. Use words if necessary." Preach the good news at all times. If necessary, use words. Let us pray. Lord, as at that first Pentecost, we ask that you do it again. Let your Holy Spirit so fill us that we are empowered to be your instruments of healing and hope and love in a world that desperately needs to hear that good news. Give us words and deeds that will reach your people in every place, in every language. Help us spread the good news of your amazing love. Amen.